Amen. Thank you, Abby and the band. You know, our faith means nothing if it doesn't mean something in all of the times of our life. Our faith isn't real if it doesn't mean something to a refugee who has the same faith that we have. You know? And faith is not just for the good times, and faith is not about coming on Sunday and pretending everything is okay, smiling and going back to lives that are difficult. We believe that faith is for all times, and the Holy Spirit is given to us to strengthen us. The Holy Spirit is described in Scripture as the comforter, a counselor, and the very presence and the power of God. Come, Holy Spirit, into our world, come into our lives. Amen. So we've been speaking about the Holy Spirit, covering that. If you want to go back and look at last time when we thought about this, you can have a look on the YouTube channel or the website, and then that'll take you there. We talked about the Holy Spirit being Father, like the Father. Everything that you know about the Father is true about the Holy Spirit. They're one, the same entity, the same being, the same essence. Homoousiousness is called in the Greek, which covers this kind of like similarness of the same entity. Everything that you know about Jesus is true about the Holy Spirit, the character of Jesus. He is God. And we talked about how we can get gifts from the Holy Spirit. We looked at the gift of tongues, about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, receiving words and pictures from God, that isn't necessarily a must or an absolute, but that people will be given gifts that are there to bless others and for their own benefit and well-being and their own journey and development of their journey with God. And we also talked about prophecy, not to tell the future, but to be able to explain to one another and encourage one another about how God encourages, strengthens, and builds one another up, us up, as we affirm and inspire one another with the words of God, as he speaks them to us for others, and for situations and for us as a church. So we talked about that last time. And that we should not despise the work of the Spirit or quench that in others. Respect that the Holy Spirit will come on other people in different ways, and that we need to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are thirsty, and drink." He offered the Holy Spirit to us when we're burned out, tired, and to strengthen us when we're thirsty. So what does it mean to live then in the reality of the Holy Spirit? Is this just for Sundays, as I was saying in the children's address, or does it mean something for our everyday lives? And the verses that I want to look at for us, thank you, I'll tap it from there, are these in Romans. Oh, bother, I forgot about that corner. Bother, I'm going to obscure it. Never mind. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And then verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. That whole passage in Romans 8 is quite complex, but we're just going to take this excerpt from it today to focus on and to look at. What does it mean to live in the realm of the Holy Spirit? Wow. Okay, so the Spirit of God, it says there, lives in you. Lives in you. What does that mean? Okay, so the Bible says that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. That's in 1 Corinthians 6. What do you think about when you think about a temple? Feel free to go for the chat function if you're on Zoom. Hands up if you're in the congregation. What do you think about when you think about a temple? That's what you think.
A building.
Okay.
A
place of worship. Yeah? Yeah, the presence of God would be felt. Yeah, this, yeah, so. Place of communication. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. How are you? A holy place. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, and this is, thank you. I don't know if there's anything on the chat. Don't want to miss it if there was, but. No. Yeah, a Greek temple, someone might think of. Yeah, yeah, that's right. And absolutely bang on, because Paul's writing to the Corinthians. So that was a Greco-Roman city. That's right. So the temple that I've got a picture of here is an artist's impression of the New Testament, of the Testament that was prophesied in the book of Ezekiel. So a Jewish temple, so to speak, and the temple obviously that Jesus went to, and that he worshipped in. But we're told that we don't need this anymore. We don't need the building of a temple anymore, because our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. So just pause for a minute and think about everything that you said about a temple applies to you, to your body, to me. What a privilege we have to be vessels, carriers of God's Holy Spirit. Quite something, isn't it? Quite something. So what does that mean? Let's press into that a little bit. It's a place where God is present within us. A place where sacrifices might be offered in a temple. Particularly as we think about the Old Testament and sort of Inca kind of stuff and things like that, but offered in other religions, isn't it? But sacrifices were offered in the Old Testament in a temple. And the writer to the Hebrews says these are now mirrored in the offerings that we do in our lives. Do not forget to do good and share with others. Those are our offerings. Those are our sacrifices in our lives. That's the parallel. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So people would go to the temple to please God by offering him a sacrifice. They had the burnt offering, a fellowship offering, an incense offering, a grain offering, the sin offering. And you go back through the Old Testament and you see all this cattle just, you know, being offered to God. And the grain and incense. Those were the sacrifices that were offered in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the parallel to please God. And the parallel is our works. Okay. A holy place. A holy place. So as we think about those sacrifices being offered for them, is that then just for the 1 or 2 hours during our awake lives per week? Or does that apply to the 112 hours when we're not in church? So there's 112 waking hours in a week, assuming that you sleep 8 hours a night. And 1 or 2 of those are when we're in church. The Bible's written to help us to take the Holy Spirit and be temples of the Holy Spirit for all 112 of those hours. We've been thinking, haven't we, about being disciples, how it applies to our work lives, on the front lines. These are the things that we are to focus on. Yes, it's special when we gather together. Yes, it's joyful. Yes, it's encouraging. Yes, it does fill me with God's presence. And I praise God for that. I'm not running it down, but it fuels us and it feeds us and it inspires us. And hopefully it empowers us as we encounter God and his Holy Spirit fills us, then to offer those sacrifices, which are, yes, a sacrifice of worship for those 2 hours, not insignificant. Yes, there's a spiritual dimension and a spiritual entity, spiritual warfare and worship. It's significant, but it's not all of it, because the rest of our lives, the rest of those 110 hours really count as well, as we offer God our lives as a living sacrifice. That's Romans 12. Those words will be already, I'm sure, ringing in your ears. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Living sacrifices. The problem with living sacrifices, of course, is that they keep, anyone know this one? Come on, you must know this one. They keep creeping off the altar. They keep creeping off the altar. That's right. Because we come as fail, don't we? And things go wrong for us as well. And we're reminded that the temple of God is a holy place. We can grieve the Spirit of God. We read in Ephesians 4 that when things go wrong, when we creep off that altar to do things our own way, or to ignore God's will for us and the way he wants to bless us, it goes badly. And we're reminded in that passage, in Ephesians 4, Paul lists off a few things that can go wrong. Impurity and greed. I'm going to summarize. I'm not going to read the passage. Impurity and greed, being ruled by sensuality and desires, falsehood and lying, anger. And then it says, and the sin that flows from anger. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. That's this passage. Who's been stealing must steal no longer. Then there's unwholesome talk that doesn't build others up. Bitterness, rage, anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. The temple's a holy place. It's a holy place. So let's try to live holy lives as we recognize that God himself lives within us. And as we remember that God forgives us, you know, we can't work to achieve righteousness before a holy God. It's not going to happen. But God has offered us a gift whereby through the cross, his son, Jesus Christ, in the person of God, died for our sin and took our sin upon himself, so that when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sinfulness. He sees the purity of Jesus Christ for those of us who trust and believe and receive that gift that he offers us. Isn't that beautiful? You are a beautiful, holy, perfect temple in the eyes of God as you believe in Jesus, as God's presence comes to dwell in you and even me. Because through Jesus, my imperfection is swapped for the perfection of Jesus. I'm free from my sin that would prevent me through guilt from approaching God, that would prevent me from being able to approach a holy God and come into his temple, let alone be a temple myself. But because of what Jesus has done for me, this is the gift of God to you. The gift of God to you is his Holy Spirit to transform your life. Eugene Peterson says, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. That's his translation of Romans 12, verse 1. Nicky Gumbel writes, all of yourself, all of your lives, your time, ambitions, possessions, ears, mouths, and sexuality, as well as your mind, emotions, and attitudes. Writes Nicky Gumbel, we offer to God all that we are. The temple is a holy place. And so it's not the church building as a such that we come to offer our worship and then go out just in and of itself. The church is where we come for corporate worship and we engage with God. It's great for that. And it inspires us to take our faith into the whole of our lives. So let's make it a good place. Make it a good place for the Holy Spirit to be. Keep ourselves clean. And regularly come back to God. Regularly carry his Holy Spirit into situations. Okay, the realm of the Spirit. We're going to go more quickly through these next ones. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. I don't know if you've tried. I've tried to kind of live as a Christian without the Spirit of God. Sort of a bad experiment. Wouldn't recommend it. I certainly remember when I was 16, I decided that the spiritual faith, kind of side of faith was a bit sort of fanciful, really, you know, a bit sort of primitive. And I decided that it didn't really matter if, certain parts of my life didn't really match up very well to teaching of the Bible, as long as people didn't know about it. I decided that I could be Christian and be cool, and, you know, in the eyes of the world. And didn't really bother with the whole praying thing. Didn't read the Bible that regularly at that time. I mean, I grew up knowing the Bible. I've been brought up well in the faith, but didn't really make time for it. Absolute disaster. Absolute disaster. I tried hard to do things, and then if struggled, tried harder. Tried harder. Because, you know, that's what you do. You try until you succeed, or you break yourself trying. Soul-destroying place to be. And when it's hard and tough, you're just on your own. It's a lonely place to be. You accept that the battle's tough, and you battle on. You don't really have fun with your worldly friends because you kind of know that it's sinful, and you kind of, when you join in, you feel guilty. But you don't really want to hang out with the Christians because they're weird, and they seem to be into it a bit too much, you know? Go over the top, really. A bit overly emotional. And they're weak, saying that they need God's help all the time. You don't need anybody's help. Horrible place to be. A loveless place to be. A miserable existence. I wouldn't recommend it. What I was doing was I was living in the realm of the flesh. It was like I had a Christian belief of sorts, but I was actually a practicing atheist in terms of my working out of my life. It didn't actually make a practical difference in my life. And it's not just when at that period of my life I've slipped into this place or into that way of thinking in other times. I would even be able to tell you that actually it doesn't make a great pattern for ministry to try and live as a minister. Without God's Holy Spirit, you'll be surprised to hear. You know? But that's not the Christian life that God wants for me. And it's not the Christian life that God wants for you. God wants you to live in the realm of the Spirit. He wants you to be connected to Him. He wants you to be in a love-filled place. Living as Jesus lived. In the realm of the Spirit. He was attentive to God. He had God's agenda at the forefront of his mind. God's word, God's priorities, God's kingdom was his priority. And it wasn't the mindless obedience of a robot. We see a relationship with Jesus flourishing. And in the Christians that we know, we know that they're not robots. We see a flourishing relationship of wonder and of love at its best. You remember when Jesus is rushing to try and save the child of a synagogue leader, and instead he stops because someone has taken power from him. At that moment, Jesus was in the realm of the Spirit, attentive to God's priorities, not the worldly priorities. He wasn't bothered what people thought of him and what he should do. And when he was praying, you remember when he was praying and the disciples come and say, everyone's looking for you. This is going really well, this ministry. Let's go, come on. And Jesus says, no, we're going somewhere else. God's priorities, God's thinking, God's kingdom. Because that's where Jesus had been, in the presence of the Father, feeding his soul. And when they're going to make him king by force, he steps away, he withdraws. And when he sees the widow giving of the little that she had, he says, this person has given more than all the others. The values of the kingdom of God. It's an exciting place to be. Jesus was in a dual realm of the spirit and the flesh. The bodily incarnation of God. And yet connected to the Father. He says he did nothing but what the Father had told him to do. And that is God's desire for us, to be connected to him, to live the life that he calls us to live. And it's a life of love. A life of love. Love is the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. Nicky Gumbel says that a word which is synonymous with the Holy Spirit is love. We read in 1 John that God is love. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're filled with the love of God. Romans 5, verse 5. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That was in my reading this morning. I had to add that in earlier. Let's listen to that again. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The very love of God is within you if you are a Christian. You can invite God to come into your life. It's always about love. You know, I think sometimes there's a risk for us as Baptists, because we've got it right. You know, we do the baptism thing. You know, we believe the Bible and practice it. And there's a bit of a risk here that we're more concerned about being right than we are concerned about being loving. As we look at others and we think, well, they're more concerned about being loving than they are about being right. But then we need to make sure that we don't lose that sense of it being so important to be loving and not just about being right. You know, there's a danger, isn't there? We need both spirit and truth, love and truth. Because the reality is that we are children of God. And for all of the sort of theory and theology, pneumatology that we get in Romans 8 about God's spirit inside us, we get this beautiful passage at the end. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. We read that God's Spirit witnesses to our spirit in that verse, which is 14, just before there, sorry. It's worth reading. Bear with me. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. There's a beautiful dance. There's a communication that's going on inside of us as a communication in the temple, as we heard earlier. Between God's spirit and our spirit, the witnesses to us that we are children of God. Beautiful moment in prayer. After I pray for God to forgive me, after I've said I'm sorry, ask for forgiveness, I remind myself that I am a child of God. It's a beautiful thing, the most beautiful thing, to know that you are a child of God. Receive his love. God loves to see his children playing. So many times in my life that I've sensed God's delight. It's just a wonderful thing. I love, as a father, to see my children having fun. See them playing. I love to see them achieve things that they're working towards. I love hugs with my children. I love it when they do good things for other people. And I slip up in my parenting. I get it wrong. But the Bible says, if this is how I am at my best, how much more is God delighting in his children? And that's you. Because you have God's Spirit within you. You are children of God. Amen.